So today we'll be sharing on gratitude, and I titled today's message, Gratitude on Repeat. Gratitude on Repeat. And it's my hope that as we share from the Word of God today, we will be inspired to cultivate the attitude of gratitude, not only on Thanksgiving service or Thanksgiving as a holiday in the United States, but that it will be a moment by moment practice. It will be a moment by moment activity that we engage in. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to share from your word as we reflect, as we think about your word today. I pray that it will permeate our heart. I pray that along with the hearing and the teaching of your word, there will be grace to do according to your will in the name of Jesus. I pray that your grace will enable us to see things from your perspective, that we'll be thankful people, we'll be grateful people, and our lives would always ooze with thanksgiving to you, and it will be a sweet smelling incense to you for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. I'd like to start with this Bible verse from Ephesians chapter 5 verse 20. And Pastor Yomi was about to preach my sermon. I was like, sir, please. I need to be able to say something. If you come here, you say everything. I won't be able to say anything, but I trust the Lord to inspire me. So this is from Ephesians chapter 5 verse 20. And it says here, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when I was thinking about this scripture, it occurred to me that, you know, we give God thanks sometimes and for some things. We are quite selective. Maybe we forget what God has done. Maybe we just didn't acknowledge it. Like one of our sisters here said, she said she thanks God for safe journey. She's not taking it for granted. But how many of us take the time to thank God that we can go from point A to point B? Or we wake up in the morning because it's a daily blessing. We are so used to it. I mean, it's good to be used to good things, right? So that if something is bad, it's not going the way we want, we can address it, right? But there's a way that we can get so used to good things, so used to the daily blessings, that we forget to pause and say, wait a minute, it's not everybody that enjoys this. It's not everybody. Sometimes when we experience one ache on our body or one pain, you then realize how many days you went without one discomfort, and you're like, ah, God, thank you. I know this day I'm not feeling too good, but I thank you for all those days that I was well and I just thought it was normal, and this happened, and this is where I am today. So that scripture says, giving thanks for all things at all times, always. So at all times, we ought to have that attitude of thanking God. Of thanking God. And the scripture that came to mind was the scripture that Pastor Yomi mentioned about the 10 lepers. And I would like us to read it, because there were some things that my eyes saw again when I looked at that scripture. Because we soon forget what God has done and we quickly move on to the next. Pastor Yomi even said that we are actually standing in the midst of someone else's prayer request. And that is a good perspective. But a lot of us are standing in our own prayer request. We prayed for things and God gave them to us. We made requests. How many of us know prayer points? Where we write number one, number two, we specify what we want. We write it down. But how many of us have praise points? How many of us have thanksgiving points? We will do an exercise at the end of service today, because the scripture says that in the presence of God, in the sanctuary of God, we will declare his work. So we will do an exercise for about that. Because the songwriter also says, count your blessings. Name them. Be specific. Name them. We ask the Lord. We say, Lord, I want to pass this exam. I want to get at least 90%. I want to get married. I want to have children. We specify our requests. And God is not afraid of our specifics. He's not afraid of us telling him what we want. But can we put that detail as well when we're thanking him? Can we put that detail when we're thanking him? Can we be as excited when we're asking him for those things, when we're thanking him for those things? Do we just say, oh, you are God anyway, you can do all things. You did it, T for thanks, and you move on to the next thing. We can be specific in thanking him. The psalmist said in Psalm 103, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, every fiber within me, bless his holy name. That speaks of a heartfelt, passionate thanksgiving to the Lord. And he began to count. One, who healed me, who delivered me, who satisfies my mouth with good things. He was intentional about specifying what God did. And so I want to encourage us today, on this Sunday morning, not only on this Sunday morning, but for the rest of our lives, to have a thankful attitude, to have gratitude on repeat, like the title of my sermon is, to have gratitude on repeat, that God, I thank you. Jesus, I thank you. I went out today, thank you. I can sit, thank you. I can breathe in, thank you. I can breathe out, thank you. Thank you, thank you, and I cannot thank you enough. That song says, as long as I am breathing, every breath is a miracle, friends. Every breath is a miracle. So our lives should never lack thanks. If you are ever doubtful of what to thank, you feel like you've thanked him a lot, as you've taken another breath again, say thank you, Jesus. As you've taken another breath again, say thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So let's read that scripture. We're familiar with it, but I want to point out some things. And this is the story of the 10 lepers. Story of the 10 lepers from Luke chapter 17, 11 to 19. Luke 17, 11 to 19. Luke 17, 11 to 19. Do we have it? From here. Luke 17, 11 to 19. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem and he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. Because remember, when they have an ailment like that, a skin disease, they can't stay with people because they can infect everybody. And they need to stay off until they can show themselves to the priest. And when they are clean, they can now associate with people. So they were afar off. They were afar off. They were secluded from their families and loved ones. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. Verse 14 says, so when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was cleansed or healed, he returned and with a loud voice. Remember, they shouted with a loud voice, Father, have mercy upon us. Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. And then he returned with also a loud voice and he glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Verse 17 says, so Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? If you look at that return rate, it was 10%, right? So there were 10, only one return. So the 90% did not return to give God thanks, did not return to give Jesus thanks. And it makes me wonder if that is what is happening these days. One thing that I saw from that scripture was that they were afar off. So sometimes, like when I was thinking about this scripture, I always thought, oh, Jesus was passing by them, and you know, they easily had access to him and they prayed. But it just occurred to me that lepers were not amongst people, normal people. So it was a miracle for Jesus to say, go show yourself to the priest. Jesus even fast forwarded things. He didn't say be healed, but he said go show yourself to the priest, meaning that your miracle has already happened. Just go to confirm so that you can begin or continue life as usual with people, your family, your friends. And he returned with a loud voice. But one thing I saw again there in that scripture was that Jesus said, were there not nine? They were afar, but he counted them. He sent the miracle to your address. He sent it to your zip code. What return will your Jesus get from you? He knows what he gave you. He knows that he woke you up this morning. He knows he sent that provision to you. He said, where are the nine? Where are the nine? You may think that, oh yeah, God is far off in heaven. He is God. He does everything. He causes sun to shine on everybody. Just like those people were far off. They were not near him. He did not count, oh, this is Mr. John. They were afar off, but he sent healing to them specifically. And their response should have been, thank you, Jesus. They were quick to maybe go back to their lives, to their family, their loved ones that they were, you know, they were with before they had the leprosy, right? And is that not how we do sometimes? Say, oh, thank you, Jesus. We're not specific. We don't spend time with him. And we're busy. We need to do this. We need to do that. I know the normal thing for life is to move ahead, move forward for the next thing. But can we take a moment this morning to pause and say, thank you, Jesus? Can we say that? Let me say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for going out, for coming in. Thank you, Jesus, for waking me up this morning. Thank you, Jesus. From the day that I was born, you woke me up every morning. You didn't fail to wake me up every morning. I say thank you. I'm standing here today by your grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What should we thank the Lord for? What should we thank the Lord for? And this is a prayer that you can pray, because this scripture encouraged us to all give God thanks at all times for all things. But sometimes we forget, we are human, right? But when we remember, God can remind us. Because you can say, Lord, I want to be thankful. I'm not as thankful as I should be. Please remind me. And he will remind you. He will remind you. He will tell you. He will tell you where you were from and how he brought you, the journey he took you through. It's a prayer I always thank God for, in thanking God for all he has done for me. The things that he has done, some of us we have forgotten. Some of us we think it's normal. But there are some of them we can't see with our ordinary eyes. We can't see with our natural eyes. The thoughts, the evil intentions, the accidents that could have happened. The reason they didn't happen was because God prevented them. And you didn't know about it. So that's why we should always be thanking him, because he preserves us. So I want to share with us different categories of what God has done. We thank him for redemption. Redemption, that we are saved, that we know Jesus. Do you know some people, The God of this world has blinded their eyes. They are so deep in sin, they cannot see that they are in need of a savior. Some of them have, you know, concluded that they are atheists. They don't believe there's a God. They, in their own wisdom, they have concluded they don't need a God. They are blinded. And how many of you came to know Jesus the first day you were preached to? Is there anybody who always knew Jesus? They always wanted to follow him. Okay. Assuming you didn't know Jesus yesterday or a few weeks before, and then this was the day you gave your life to Christ. What was the difference between that day and the day you gave your life to Christ? What was the difference? Something happened. Your eyes opened. You saw you were in need of a savior. That was a transformation that God made to happen in your life. This scripture in John chapter 6 verse 44, I believe, it says that no one comes to God except that I draw him. John chapter 6 verse 44 says, for no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me, and at the last day I will raise him up. Basically, we couldn't save ourselves. I remembered before I gave my life to Christ, I knew it was the right thing to do to honor the Lord with my life, but I just kept pushing it off. When I'm older, you know, let's forget about this thing. I was considering myself, my own pleasures. But something happened. What is that thing that happened? What was that transformation? My eyes became opened. Some people are still in darkness. They don't know that they need a savior. So we that we are believers, we are in the church of God, we know what is right, and we have accepted to be in God's family, we ought to thank God. Sometimes I don't even know how people do life without God, because when I'm overwhelmed, I know who to turn to, because I have him on the inside of me. I have him in my life, and my mind, I'm like, ha, wahala for who don't know God, because I don't know how they do it. They go to other things. Maybe they go to substances, they go to more sin, they try to fill that void. But thank God that I have Jesus. Thank God that my eyes were opened. Thank him for redemption. He translated me from darkness to light. It was my death, he died. I was supposed to be the person on the cross, but he took my place instead. I was supposed to be the person condemned, but he took my place instead. I was forsaken, but he chose me. He handpicked me. What a kind of love. The Bible says in Jeremiah 31 verse 3, one of my favorite Bible scriptures, it says, long ago the Lord said to Israel, or said to me, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with unfailing love have I drawn you to myself. No person will come on their own and say, I'm going to the Lord. It's God that draws them. It's now up to the person to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Nobody by themselves just says, I want to go to. It's God that draws them. It is his love that draws us. And I'm forever thankful for his love. Let us also read, lastly, under the redemption aspect, Colossians chapter 2, 13 to 14. Colossians 2, 13 to 14. It says here, are you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh? Had he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, that was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Hallelujah. Can you say, thank you, Lord, for redemption? Thank you, Lord, for redemption. It didn't come cheap. Because I know these days, like Pastor said, some people say, use Jesus as a curse word. The reason that name is powerful was because of the sacrifice he made. And it wasn't cheap. It was painful. To be honest, during Easter, I don't like to watch those gruesome. I don't. In my mind, I'm like, oh, is it because I don't want to see the gravity of my sins or what? But I just feel like, I'd rather look at the risen Savior. I want to look at Jesus glorified. But I need to remember that suffering was supposed to be mine. That pain was supposed to be mine. And if he didn't open my eyes to receive him, I will be condemned, because there's still condemnation for those who don't. And so at the end of the service, we'll give an opportunity for someone who has not seen Jesus or does not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, because that escape from hell is what Jesus did for us. And he who does not receive him, the Bible says, is condemned already. So Lord, I thank you for redemption. Thank you for dying my death. Thank you for giving me life. Hallelujah. We can also thank the Lord for rescuing us. These testimonies we share today is part of rescuing. It's supposed to have happened, but it did not happen. The Bible says in Psalm 124 that if not that the Lord was on our side, we would have been consumed. There were some people that while they were pregnant, they were threatened abortion. If it was up to the devil, they would have died. There were people that if there was no intervention during childbirth or something, they would have, you know, been a victim of someone else's accident. There were some sicknesses that the enemy intended for it to consume us, but it did not. Even we see, just as a nation or as a people, during COVID, some people died, but we escaped death. In fact, there was a day I didn't even know how broken or how, because you know how the Bible says that in Goshen, there was light, right? So even in Egypt, when all the Egyptians were experiencing plagues, the children of Israel, they were kept safe from all of those. So I was in my happy world until I just got an email from one of my son's teachers to say that a child died and that we should be kind to our children, we should console them. I was like, ah, you know, it came close home. I mean, thank God we didn't, you know, lose anybody as a result of that, but it just came so close to me. That day I cried because I just showed my husband, I said, look at what we got. And later we got to, I didn't even ask what happened. I just assumed that it was COVID. Later we found out it was even COVID that killed the person, you know, that. But in my mind, I was like, that's just how people just don't make it. But we didn't experience it. God rescued us from it. And so we don't even know, like I mentioned, we don't even know what God has rescued us from. And so we thank Him for rescuing us. Hallelujah. We're hiding under His shadow. The Bible says in Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He kept us. You know, sometimes people say, oh, I drive carefully on the road. I always make sure I have gas. I always make sure I look in my mirrors before I turn. What about the crazy person that is coming? Like, even if you are very careful, what about the other person coming? The Lord has rescued you. Our sister shared a testimony that she could already see the accident happening, but God rescued her. She opened her eyes and she saw the car in front of her. God rescued her, kept her, shielded her under His wings, and she did not experience that accident. And that is the same for you too. Hallelujah. It's not about your carefulness or whether you go on a specific diet or you always wash my hand for 20 seconds. But you eat in a restaurant. Do you know who cooked it? Do you know what they are doing there? Thank you, Lord, for rescuing me. Thank you, Lord, for rescuing my family. Thank you, Lord. The next one is, thank the Lord for the things you have received. You prayed for it, or out of His goodness. There are some things that I have received that I didn't pray for, but when I got it, I liked it. So I thank God for it. And even the things that I felt like I worked hard for. Not everybody put in the effort I put in got the job or passed the exam. It was just the mercy of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Say, for what gives you the right to make such a judgment? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if everything you have is from God, why boast as though it were not a gift? So some people don't thank God because they believe, oh yeah, I worked hard for it. I don't expect anything less, you know. I'm wary about people who say, oh yeah, I'm self-made. I'm self-taught. I'm like, even if you went to YouTube to learn, you learned from somebody. And apart from that, some people have brains. They cannot comprehend. But God gave you the wisdom. You could, Yes, you took your leg there. You could have applied yourself one way or the other. But he's the one who walked in you. He's the one who enabled you. Let's not be like the rich fool. You know that scripture, the rich fool? I believe it's, I wrote it down here, Luke chapter 12, 13 to 21. We can read that when we get home. The rich fool, he was saying to himself, you have a great harvest. Just relax. Put up your feet. Relax and be taken care of. We'll build another barn. And we'll put no element of God, you did it. Or even caring for another person. And God said, you are a fool. You know, there's a scripture that says in Proverbs that a fool says in his heart, there is no God. But do you know that sometimes we have acted foolish? I won't say we are fools. We have acted foolish to think that it is by our strength and our caliber or our wisdom or our smartness that we have what we are. You were given. You received it from the Lord. The Bible says every good and every perfect gift, it comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither is there any shadow of turning. That means that he is faithful in taking care of you. He's faithful in keeping you. Whatever you have, not by your looks, not by your wisdom, not by your smartness, whatever you feel like you have, God gave it to you. And so we ought to thank him for all that we have received. Beware of the use of I know sometimes in a professional setting, you know, they ask you, what's your secret? And sometimes it might be weird to say, oh, I believe in, you know, God help me. Because some people are from different faiths. But there's a way you can even show with humility that what you received, whatever you got, you received it. God gave it to you. In fact, a lot of times, people who are humble to acknowledge other people in their team, say, they helped me to do this, they helped me to do that. I'm grateful for you. You know? I say, thank God. Sometimes, you know, people just say thank, they say thank God as just like, you know, cuss word or swear words and things like that. They just feel like, oh, or some people say, thank goodness. Me, I say, thank God. They've not asked me why before, but if they care to ask me why, I'll tell them. Right? But Bible says that he gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. When you humble yourself and say, God, thank you. It's not that I'm smart. In fact, I remember when I had my graduation last year, we were shocked because we had like some of the black students in the class. We created a small WhatsApp group and we're preparing for the graduation. We're all happy we made it and everything, and so we're expecting to see ourselves again at the graduation, only for us to get a shocker. We're asking, where is she? We're asking for someone. The person who was announcing now said, we need to give a moment silence for this. Everybody was shocked because this person was looking forward to this graduation. She was looking forward to promotion. She got the promotion. We were all wondering. I was like, did you know? I was like, if you look at the group chat, a couple of days ago, she just said something. Looking forward to it. But she didn't make it. She didn't make it. And from my looks of, I believe, she looked healthy. Later I got to understand there were some underlying conditions, but I've always complimented her dressing. In fact, I asked her the way her hair was curly. Then I said, what do you use to make your hair curly? And she told me the product she used. So she didn't look like someone I would not see on that day. So if it was by skill or was by power or anything, she would have made it. But the mercy of God kept us. And so you should never say, I did this, I'm smart, I applied myself, I did this, I didn't sleep at night. In everything, give God the glory. Give God the glory. The last category here is you want to thank the Lord for restoration. So we said we thank God for redemption, We thank him for rescuing us. We thank him for the things we have received. We thank him for restoration. Now, here is the deal here. Some things happened to us, but the devil thought it would crush us. Jesus was killed. The devil was happy, but he rose again. That heartbreak was supposed to crush you and break you. That disappointment was supposed to finish you forever. The devil didn't want you to have hope anymore. The devil didn't want you to trust again. The devil didn't want you to get married. But guess what? God turned it around. That is the restoration of God at work. What was meant to crush you instead became your stepping stone to a greater height. Hallelujah. Can someone say hallelujah? That's what happened to Joseph. That's what happened to Joseph. They were persecuting him. He experienced one issue or the other, from the pit to trouble in the palace to Potiphar's house. Excuse me, from the pit to Potiphar's house, where he experienced one problem or the other, to the prison before he got to the palace. If you met him on the journey of life before he got to the palace, you will say he was stolen from, he was rejected, he was lied upon. But God turned it around. And that's what God does. And I just want to encourage someone here today. Maybe you are in that journey. Maybe you have not received your full restoration. But that's what God does. He's a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. He's a way maker. What the enemy meant for evil is turning around for your good in the name of Jesus. That is the God that we serve. He's a God of restoration. Is that not also what happened to Job? He lost everything, but at the end of the day, God had his back and he got everything multiplied. That's the God that we have, we serve. He's a God that restores. You want to thank the Lord for restoration. You want to thank the Lord for restoration. Your healing is a restoration. Restoration of health. You may have been hospitalized. I have a testimony of restoration. 2 times. I have 3 children. 2 times. The second child I had, I don't know what happened. I just went to the bathroom. You know, they'll encourage you after you have the baby to walk around and everything. So they took me to the bathroom. I used the bathroom. As I got up from the bathroom, that was the last thing I remembered. And the nurse was holding me and she was pressing the alarm. Yes, so that she would call people, because I was bigger than her, right? So she couldn't really maneuver me. And they called my husband. They called the room. I said, are you okay? My husband said, yes, we are okay. Because literally just a few seconds ago, I had gone to the bathroom. So he said, oh yeah, we're fine. Thanks for checking up on us. And he hung up. But the lady was still pressing, was asking for attention. And then the lady now said, have you checked the bathroom? Okay, I think the question was, where is your wife? Because you are saying you are fine, but where is she? Go and see her, tell me. So they said, that was when they realized there was a problem. And then nurses came in. All I could realize was that they gave me something to smell to come back. I just saw myself on a chair, but that's not where I last remembered. I don't know how it happened. And do you know that the same thing happened again after I had my last daughter? That was God restoring me, bringing me back. I think in my own head, I felt like, I told them this happened and everything, so that they will be more watchful or something, or, you know, they will have it on the record or something. But, and I also remembered when I was pregnant for her, I was coming down the stairs to open the door for my husband because he rang the bell, and I slipped. I had pain on my leg for a long time. My mom was helping me massage. First of all, I was thankful that it wasn't the baby I fell on. I fell on my behind, but you know, all of that. But I don't even feel anything there again, because the Lord restored. He heals. He delivers. There are some people that went through that experience. They didn't come out of it. They didn't, but I did. And I've come to return all glory to him. I've come to return all glory to him. He deserves it all. And so after receiving redemption from him, after receiving rescuing from him, after receiving all the blessings from him, after you have been restored, what should be your response? You speak well of the Lord. Like I mentioned, even though if you're going through that tunnel, that place where you don't know when, it just seems like, oh, when is my change going to come? You can say, Lord, I thank you because you are faithful. I thank you because you are thinking of me. You've started with me on a journey. You are too faithful to fail. You have a track record of keeping your word. And I will testify. Just like the psalmist said, he says, I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He was sure that as long as I'm alive, as long as I'm standing, God is working. Like we sang earlier, he's working. He never stops working. It may appear like it's a delay for you. It may appear like he has forgotten you, but he has inscribed you on the palm of his arm. He's always thinking about you. The devil wants to make you believe that he has forgotten you. And then you start complaining. You start worrying. Instead of using your mental capacity to think about or worry about situations that will not produce fruit for you, why not think about what God has done? Why not think about others' testimonies and say, God, if you did it for my sister, you will do it for me? Because if you can worry, it means that you're a good thinker. Worrying is just a misuse of your thought capacity. You can channel that into thanking God. One of the ways that I thank God is I also think about, yes, I have children, but what if I didn't have children? Just to, you know, get my mind thinking. What if I didn't have the kind of boss I have at work? What if, you know, I'm dealing with this issue? In fact, there was a day I was teaching my children gratitude and they were, you know, my older boys, they are more vocal now. They are having minds of their own and they were arguing. They argue a lot. If I was asking some parents, like, how do you do with this sibling thing? The older one says the younger one does not listen to me. The younger one says, you are not the boss of me. You know, they're like at loggerheads. Like, you are a boy, I'm a boy too. You are this, you can do this, I can do it too. You know, they... I always tell the younger ones, if you were in Nigeria, you'd be putting brother in front of his name. But I guess they are Americans, right? They are expressive. They speak up. They speak up. Mommy says just 2 years. Well, they speak up for themselves and they talk. So that day, the Holy Spirit just said, because I taught them about gratitude. I said, okay, even when things are not working well, you know, just thank God. I was like, God, what is there to thank you about this situation? Because I was so, like, I keep telling them, it's okay. You don't have to have your way all the time. You can even let it go. If he's arguing with you, you can just walk away. But the thing is that it's disturbing my peace. So I'm like, just keep quiet and leave me alone. And I was like, God, how can I remain thankful? How can I keep my calm? And the Lord reminded me. He said, if one of them could not express themselves, yes, you have peace, but is that really peace? If one of them had a challenge, if one of them was ill, would you rather have that than have them argue? So I said, God, I thank you that they have minds of their own. They can speak. They can communicate. Yes, we need to channel it in the right way. But I just converted it to thanksgiving. Because it could have been worse. Situations, I think it was Pastor James that shared an experience of when he had an accident. It could have been worse, much worse. And that's why he came out to give a testimony, because someone would say, why will you come forward and give a testimony when the thing happened? But it could have been worse. Oh, you may not have enough money to make that payment. Maybe you have only 50%, but it could have been 0%. Thank God for what you have. And it will be multiplied. And do you know what? God loves to dwell in an atmosphere of gratitude. That is creating heaven on earth. God loves to dwell in the midst of the praises. Do you like to go to a place where they only complain about what you've not done? As a human being, they criticize you. She doesn't do this. She's too quiet. She's too this. She's too that. What will you do naturally in that place? Yeah, I just excuse you. So maybe sometimes I'll try to defend myself. It's not like that. But eventually, when the person is always complaining and finding fault in what you do, I never give you a compliment. Like, I need to protect my peace. I'll go where I'm celebrated. And that's what Jesus, that's using that analogy. God loves when we acknowledge what he has done. Not like, God, I asked for this 5 years. I'm still waiting. It has not happened. I asked for one. I asked for two. You gave me one. You are God who does things speedily, immediately, intentionally. Where is my own? After praying all night, where, you know? Are you there? Are you still God? That is the human way to go. That is the fleshly way to go. And that's what the enemy wants to flash us. Because it's like a double, I don't know if to call it a double problem, because God is not liking that. Angels too are withdrawing. So you will not get the miracles you want, right? By doing that. But when you praise God from your heart and say, God, according to your word, you said this. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you because you will complete it. I thank you for that. I thank you that I'm alive. I know I will testify of your goodness in my life. I judge you faithful. You are good. You are kind. You are walking behind the scenes. You're a miracle worker. I know when I see my testimony, I will say, oh, see what the Lord has done. And so I dance, I rejoice because I'm rehearsing my testimony. You are going to work things together for my good. I'm going to walk into my miracle. And I thank you for that because you're always thinking of me. I thank you because you're always faithful. I'm not going to give the enemy a field day in my house. I'm going to make sure I celebrate you. I cultivate joy. I make heaven in my home. Can I also tell you that it happens for human beings as well? One day, I'm putting myself out there. I was praying to God. I was telling God that my husband this, my husband that. You know, I was telling God. I was reporting my husband to God. And I got up with the mind that, okay, I've told God what you should do. And so I almost like I was coming to fight in the flesh. So after telling God, of course, I have backing, right, from the Lord. I came to my husband, almost like giving him attitude, all those kind of things. And God said, if you have prayed, do you now want to answer your prayer again? Why not thank God that he has answered you? And I was like, God, thank you. I've prayed. So I need to address him like the answer that I have received from him. So if I say, okay, God, for example, I say, I want him to be more caring. Let me, for example, Lo, my husband is caring. I've just said, for example. So I will address him as the super caring husband, not as the original, because that's what I prayed for. And I, by faith, I know I've received it. And when I thank him, I say, thank you, Lord, for answering my prayer. I address him as the answered prayer. So I address him as king. I address him as the one who loves me so much. I address him as the one who will not intentionally hurt me. I address him as the one who will listen to me. So when we thank the Lord for what he has given us, in our spouses, even with our people, with our children, we see that they amplify. It boosts them up. And the Lord reminded me as we round up, the story of Paul. Paul, you know Paul, he would write letters. They said that in the physical, when you see Paul, they said he was a short person or like not anything to write home about. But in his letters, he would, because his letters were harsh. But do you notice that at the beginning of his letters, he's always saying, I thank the Lord for you. I thank the Lord. He had corrections in his back pocket. He had all the arsenals he was going to bring out and say, you, I know you are doing this. I know you are selfish. I know you need. But he started with, I thank the Lord for you. I thank the Lord for your faith. I thank the Lord. So even with correcting our children, we start with that. In our human relationship, we say thank you. Let thank you be plenty in your mouth. Thank you to God. Thank you to people. Let your knee not be so locked that you can't even courtesy, like you feel like you are the Lord of everything. You can't bow. You can't, like, no. Be thankful to people. It starts with that because Jesus said, God was saying, or Jesus was saying that if you cannot love your neighbor, you say you love God, you are deceiving yourself. The people that are around you, you can see God walking through them. Yes, God could use someone else. That's what some people will say. I don't need to give them gratitude. God can use anybody. God uses people. So if God did not use you, God will use someone else. The favor I received from you is because God told you to do it. Yes, you will be surprised. I'm a pastor and I'm not lying. That's what people say. That's what some people feel, that God can use anybody. And that's true. While that is true, the person that allowed God to use them, can we say thank you? Hey. Yes. Let's thank God and let's thank God for the people that He's using. Let's thank God for the people that He's using. The world will be a better place when we do that. We appreciate each other. We appreciate God. And the things that God has given us, He will multiply. Let's just take a moment. Let's pick our notebooks, pick our phones. Just count your blessings one by one. Just tell God, thank you. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my husband. Thank you for my children. Just write it down. The Bible says count. Let's do it. Just 30 seconds before we round up today. Appreciate the Lord. Appreciate Him. If you're ever in doubt of what God has done, just open that paper. In fact, you can decide to do it every day. Have a gratitude journal. Thank you for today. I went out. I came in. Thank you, Lord. I received a comment from my boss today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the problems that I'm even encountering, because those problems, they will fall like Goliath before me. It will fall like a great giant before me. We can thank the Lord all the time. Bible says, giving thanks always for all things. Gratitude on repeat. Gratitude on repeat. Father, that is our portion today. In the name of Jesus. I just want to give an opportunity to anyone here. Perhaps you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life. Perhaps you've not responded to His love. If there's anyone there, there's no need to be shy about it. Just raise up your hand. I'll say a short prayer with you. If you know you don't know the Lord, or if you walked away at some point in your life, do I see any hands and you want to return back to the Lord this morning or this afternoon? I don't see any hands. So let's say this prayer. Say, Father, I thank you for redemption. I thank you for rescuing me. I thank you for redeeming me. I thank you for restoring me. I thank you for every answered prayer. Thank you for the things you've done. Thank you for the things you are doing. Thank you for the things you will yet do. Thank you because you love me. Thank you because you're always thinking of me. Thank you that all things are working together for my good. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that for each and every one of us here, you will help us to have a thankful attitude. All the time, help us to see the work that you're already doing, and even when we don't see it, help us to trust your heart that you are kind and that you will work all things together for our good. We give you the glory and praise in Jesus' name. We pray.